The thought I want to talk to you about is they were all with one accord. They were all with one accord. I've thought about that and preached about it, I know, before. You can go through the book of Acts and you'll find that this was not a one-time occasion. You'll find, matter of fact, it was mentioned back in chapter 1 when the Bible mentioned there that they were into an upper room. And in verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication. That phrase, one accord, is only found one time outside of the book of Acts, found in Romans 15 and 6, where it's translated one mind, one mind. But it's found there. It means to be of one assent or one purpose. It's found 11 times in the book of Acts. 11 times in the book of Acts. I'm not going to go through those occasions. I'm just going to share some thoughts about it here tonight that I believe that to bring home to us, and may the Lord maybe disperse something in us and excite us to think about it. I do not believe that it is, number one, an accident that they are in this condition. I do not believe that it is an accidental thing that folks happen to be all of one assent or of one purpose, one accord, as the Bible says here on this particular day, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit is going to come. I think that is by no means an accident. It's no means something that just happened to be. They just happened to get a few folks together and agree on the same thing. But that this was a condition that was present among the people of God, the people of Jesus Christ. And that it was, I should say, a necessary condition. I think if you would, for a moment, what would it have been like? Matter of fact, I don't believe it would have happened. But if you could think with me just for a moment, how would it have been if the Spirit of God had fallen or could have come to a place where there was not one accord? In other words, could you imagine it being different than that? Could you imagine coming to a place and falling upon a group of people where they were distracted, where two or three were going this way and two or three were that way, where there were some hypocrites among them, where there were some selfish hearts among them, where there were some folks that was there not for the real purpose, not for the real thing? There were some folks that was there just to see what was going to happen. Do you know, on that day there were no spectators. On that day there was no one there just to gawk or to gaze. There was nobody there just to check out and see what happens. There were no news reporter. There was nobody that was going to stand around the fringes just to record the events. In other words, here was a body of people that were coming together for one purpose and for one thing and one thing only. And they were there to receive the power from on high. Oh my, I'm going to tell you, I cannot imagine. I do not believe, as I said, that the Spirit would have fallen. It would be utterly, absolutely incongruent. It would be in contradiction to the very Spirit of God who baptizes us into one body, who saves and regenerates us, who's the one that makes us one in Jesus Christ. For Him to come at His initial advent and to fall on a group of people, and not all of those group of, not all of those people were sincere. Not all of those people were true. Not all of those people were believers in Jesus Christ. Not all of those people were really there because they wanted to receive power from on high. I think somewhere when I thought about it, I thought, my, is that an impossibility? It lets me know something. It is not impossible to have a group of people all come together in one place with one purpose and with one goal, and to have the power of God to fall upon them. We look at it today and think, there ain't no way in the world you can get 100 folks in the same place that's got the same purpose, got the same mindset, got the same desire. I'm telling you, it's got to be a powerful thing if you can get 100 people together and all they want is one thing. They're not there for selfish reasons. They're not there for hypocritical purposes. They're not there so that they can just get something out of it or see something happen. All through the ministry of Jesus, He's had the critics, He's had the doubters, He's had the skeptics, He's had those that were just sightseers, He's had those that were there just to check out what's going on. But on this day, there are no sightseers, there are no gawkers, there are no checker outers, there are none.
to be skeptics or critics. They are there for one thing, and that is to receive the power that comes from on high. Hallelujah. I wish I could communicate it. I wish I could say it somehow to get the power of it. You know, we've seen many times, it's an amazing thing what can happen in humanity when a group of people put their mind to doing one thing. I can tell you that when the communists put their mind to doing it, they will spread it and it will go all around the world. I will tell you there's more unity sometimes in the LGBT community than there is among the people of God. They're more committed to their purpose. They're more devoted to their issues. They're more devoted to their agenda than sometimes we are. We're such a distracted people. We're such a people that are scattered. Our minds are scattered. Our thoughts are scattered. Our hearts are divided. And we come together and sometimes we can't even believe the same thing. And we struggle with it. But I'm telling you, you want the power of the early church, then make God help us to find the place where we can somehow shove everything else aside. These are not special people. They're average. They're ordinary. They're fishermen. They're tax collectors. They're just like you and I. But on this day, they've got one goal. They've got one objective. They've got one thing, and it's top priority. Hallelujah. And the power of it. You get out there, and I've seen sometimes, maybe on a video, maybe in real life, you know, we get together and maybe we have a car that's overturned. Maybe there's some heavy object that's just got to be moved. Somebody's pinned and we've got nothing else but human effort and strength. And so we got 10 men and they get around it. And you'll hear one of them say, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, we've got to lift together. If we don't combine our strength, if we don't combine our energy, then we're not going to be able to move this object. We're just going to have to, you know, we're not going to be able to do the thing that needs to be done. I'm just, that got a hold of me. I'm telling you, I believe somewhere that's got to come to us. I don't care if it's but 5. I don't care if it's but 10. But 10 people that's got one thing on their mind. 10 people that's got one goal. When they come to church, we come to church, and sometimes our minds are over yonder. We're tired, we're worn out. We've been filled with something during the day. We've watched the news, we've done this, we've done that. We come to church. One wants to hear preaching, one wants to shout, one wants to sing, one wants to go this direction, one wants to go that direction. I would we could all get on the same page. I would that God could do a work in our hearts and would say, I know what we need, and what we need is the Holy Ghost. What we need is the power of God that'll fall upon us. God, bring us to one accord. Hallelujah. The sheer power of it. Every mind focused, every thought directed, every word towards God lifted up. I'm telling you, that's a place where God can move. That's a place where God can work. That's a place where God can manifest His glory and manifest His power if we could just get a hold of it. I think about things that there's no group, there's no people, there's no organization, there's no family, there's no one, no group of people that have ever accomplished their goal without some form of unity, without some congruency, without some compatibility, without finding somewhere an object. You see, that's what we got to do. They weren't all of the same skin color, I doubt. Now, they're all Jews, no doubt about that. I'm sure they're all Jewish people. But there's men and there are women in that place. Amen. Some of them are short and some of them are tall. Some of them are married. Some of them are unmarried. Some of them have got businesses maybe. Some of them don't. They've got families. Some of them may be single, however that may be. But I can tell you right now, with all of that, there's not one, two people in that room that are alike on the day of Pentecost. They've all got different personalities. They've all distinct. I mean, Peter and John are just about night and day. I mean, you can talk about Simon. Simon. You can talk about Matthew. You can talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. The brothers of Jesus are there, but they're different. Not a one of them has the same personality. Our unity is not, we're not unified because we all have the same skin color. We're not unified because we look alike. We're not unified because we talk the same way. We're unified because we come together. We got one goal and we got one purpose, and that purpose is to please God. That purpose is to do the will of God. That purpose is to receive an anointing and the glory that comes from on high.
Amen. Yeah.
I've watched this church through the years, and when we get people that come together in a week and they've got one purpose, things happen. We got together a week ago. It seems like the Lord just focused us in. We said, we want some folks to get filled with the Holy Ghost. He directed the preaching. He directed the praying. And we saw it happen. We saw a man that had been seeking for some years got filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I have no doubt that if that continues, and if we can keep that same mindset, we'll see others filled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to lose that. I'm telling you, I don't want to lose it. But sometimes there's so much going on, and it seems like when revival's over, we got to go our directions again. But I'm going to tell you, they come there. Some of them no doubt had to cook that morning. Some of them had to clean clothes. But somewhere they came together and said, but it's an all-important thing. There's something more important than what I want. There's something more important than what I think. There's something more important than what the preacher wants or the member wants. And it's the mind of God. He told us to tarry until we be endued with power from on high. And if we can only get ourselves there and find out this thing's bigger than us. It's bigger than WPC of Washington. It's greater than me. It's greater than you. And we've got to have God do something among us.
Amen.
You know, there's got to be a unity that exists. But there has to be, this unity has to unite us around something. Unity always requires something that is, in some sense, outside the group or that's larger than the group. Now, the group can unify themselves around one person that's in the group. We call that a cult. I want no part of that now. But that's really just a bunch of folks that are under the dominion of a man and become his slaves. I'm not talking here about a bunch of folks that are going to gather around another individual. But there's a cause here. That they've got a cause, and that they're coming together for something. They're looking for something. Now, they don't all know exactly what's going to happen. They don't know. I don't know that any of them know exactly how this is going to take place. You see, you can have unity without you making the plans. You can have unity without you determining what it's going to happen and how this thing is going about. And that sometimes is our problem. We want it to happen a certain way. We want God to do it just a certain way. But that don't even know that they knew they would speak in tongues. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that wasn't mentioned much. There's some verses that allude to it in the Old Testament. But he just said, I'll pour out my spirit. He never said really that they'd speak in tongues. He talks about it. Paul will allude to a verse that no one would have connected with tongues. Paul would have, and he did have. But if you read in Isaiah 28, I believe it is, and you were reading it and didn't have the knowledge of the New Testament experience, you wouldn't connect it with the outpouring of the Spirit of God. So I'm telling you, they didn't know that unless Jesus had told them and didn't record it in the Word. That may be a possibility. But I don't know that he told them, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. It's going to happen like this. So the purpose doesn't have to be around a program. It doesn't have to be around somebody's schedule. Amen. But they got one thing. Jesus said, I'm sending you a promise. I'm sending you a promise. I'm sending you a promise. And you've just got to wait. You've got to tarry. And all I can tell you is this. Every one of them wanted that promise. Every one of them said, I will have the promise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
I know there's a general belief in this area and that these folks are all convinced on Jesus Christ. That's That's primary. That's elementary. Every one of those folks are disciples. They're all believers, all right? They're all folks who know and believe the words of Jesus Christ. They're folks that know His promise and they believe that promise. So that in this unity there is a, they come together and there's an absolute sense that they know exactly what they are waiting for. Not exactly how it will happen. Not exactly when it will happen. But that there is a promise that they're going to receive the Spirit. And the Spirit is going to come. And that's what they're looking for. This crowd of people is looking to obtain a promise from God, from Jesus Christ. And they are going to wait until it comes. I can tell you right now, somewhere, we just got to get on board and know that God has got something for us. Folks, He's promised us in this church, I'm going to give you a harvest. He's promised us the Holy Ghost. He's promised us revival. He's promised us a move of the Spirit. And I will tell you, if we could just get that in our mind and in our spirits and come to church and say, I'm coming to church today and I know that God is going to do a great and mighty thing. I'm going there and do my part. They didn't expect to go in that upper room and just walk around staring out the window. They went there and kept their focus on the object. They prayed. They praised. They sought God. They didn't go there and just wander around until it happened. No, sir. They did and created an atmosphere that was conducive to the fall of the pouring of the Spirit of God. They created an atmosphere that was free of debate, an atmosphere that was free of censorship, an atmosphere that was free of criticism, an atmosphere that was full of the love of God and was full of faith towards a promise that was coming towards them. Not one of them doubted that it was real or that it would come. There was not one person in that room that says, I don't really know about all this. When they came through the door, wherever it was, if it's at the temple, when they came into the temple and they're worshiping, it's the day of Pentecost, there is an anticipation. There is a harmony. There's a oneness of purpose. That we're here for one thing today. We're here for the promise that comes from on high. Can I tell you that that's what Jesus wanted? In John chapter 17, He prayed that they all may be one. And although the Spirit may come and make that a real spiritual reality on that day by giving them a greater unity than even they had. You see, this one accord is not so much even a spiritual unity yet for them. It's just that they're there for the same purpose. It's just that they're there for the same mind. It's just that they've got the same disposition towards God. They've got the same faith towards God. I will tell you, they don't possess yet a spiritual unity like they're fixing to have. They don't possess yet a new birth like they're fixing to have. They don't possess a sanctifying and a feeling of the Holy Ghost like they're fixing to have. All they've got is one purpose. We got one goal. We got one agenda. And we got one heart. And we're here for that agenda. When the Holy Ghost came, I'm going to tell you what. Not only did they get filled, but before they were filled, they heard the wind. Now, the Spirit of God just fell all at once, so they couldn't distinguish between the spirits. But I'm telling you, in that moment when the Holy Ghost fell, their spirits were made alive. I'm telling you, whatever in that temple needed cleansed, got cleansed. Whatever needed to be done, got done. And the Holy Ghost filled up that house, and He filled their temples. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm just here to tell you that God wants to do it. And when they came out that day, they had a deeper unity than they'd ever had. They had a unity that bound them together. They were now just not a bunch of disciples. They're a body. They're a body. They're a body of believers. Hallelujah. They've come to have all things in common.
They will stick together now with the bond like they never had before. The disciples have been somewhat disjointed, the apostles. There are folks in that room that's got a history. Some folks come and say, well, I don't know what I can do. There's a man that's leading that apostolic band. We get all these hang-ups. He is only a little over a month from the greatest spiritual disaster he ever experienced. It hadn't been but 40 days or so since Peter had stood and warmed himself at the enemy's fire and had denied the very one that called him out. I'm telling you right now, you got to know that was not a faded memory. My, he's there that day and he's ready. But that failure, do not think that just because they're all in one accord that the devils went on vacation. Oh, no, sir. I don't believe the devil's on vacation. I think he's doing everything he can to hinder it. I think he's doing everything he can to distract it. But it doesn't matter. If somewhere they have a thought that wavers, they just bring it right on back in. I'm here today to receive the Holy Ghost. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, there are folks in that room. Mary maybe can go back and remember. Some of them maybe remember the scenes at Calvary. It hadn't been but a little over a month ago. How many of them can remember when they hung out in the upper room for fear and they were trembling with fear? Some of them can remember the days in sin and how wicked it was. Peter can remember even after his denial when he was out there in just his underwear, so to speak, and fishing, and the Lord come by and he puts his coat on and he comes and eats fish with the Lord. There's no great zeal. There's no great sense. He's disappointed in himself. But I'm telling you, they realize there's a cause greater than me. There's a cause greater than my past. There's a cause greater than anything that I've got. And I'm telling you, it is the fullness of the Spirit of God. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Varied personalities, varied mindsets, varied intellect. Varied backgrounds, varied histories, varied families, varied incomes, varied social status, varied genders. But the Bible said they were in one accord. What it says to me is, I don't want to hear your excuse. I want to hear about, well, I got some hang-ups. Maybe you do. But it's something bigger than your hang-up. It's something that'll help you with that hang-up. Oh, yeah. Well, I just don't feel like I can. I'm just not where I need to be. These fellas have no clue to the adventure they're fixing to embark on. Oh, glory to God. I think our problem is sometimes we're trying to figure out how a miracle is going to wind up. We listen to the news so much and we read it so much that our minds are bombarded with it. And we're all wondering, where's it going to end? Where's it going to go? These folks had been told, again, a little over a month, 6 weeks or so earlier, that that great temple that they think is so beautiful is coming down. Every stone is going to be turned over. Not one stone is going to be left upon another. I'm telling you right now, they have been told things by the John they can't even grasp it all. They don't even know how to express it all. But the Lord said, I don't want you right now worried about times and seasons. I don't want you to worry about times when this is going to happen and when that's going to happen. I want you to connect with one thing. You're going to get power. You're going to get power. You're going to get power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I'm going to tell you, somewhere that's where we got to get to. I feel that somewhere what we need is somewhere a central mind, a central goal, a central focus that says, God, I've got to have power. I've got to have power. I've got to have power. And you promised me power. You didn't just promise me power. You promised us power. You promised to fill the church. I'm going to tell you, they were right where God wanted them. He was pleased.
pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. There the Lord commands the blessing. Psalm 133 foreshadowed it. It's like the oil that went upon the head, down upon the beard, and flowed down even to the skirts of Aaron's garment. It was like the dew of Hermon. But at the base of Hermon, there is this just huge mountain, and there's all this vegetation. But really, as I understand, no rain. But there's a dew that comes and a mist that falls and just causes things to grow and to branch out. And he said, there, the Lord commanded the blessing. I'm about to close it. Maybe my thoughts have been a little bit scattered. But if I could get you thinking about it.
Yeah.
If I can just get you somewhere to come to see.
Yes.
Do you think everybody in that room was problem free? No. You think everybody in that room didn't have things happening in their family? Wrong. You think some of them didn't have things going on their job? Wrong. You think some of them thought they didn't have some issues maybe in their bodies? I doubt it. I'm sure there was probably an ache or two. I'm sure there's a few things. Old age has probably hit a few of them somewhere. They're buried in age. They're old or young. There's just all kinds of things that's there. But they were able to lay that aside and say, we got one goal here today. We got one thing we got to keep our mind on. And that's that God's going to send us the power. We need something. Not so much worried about the times or seasons. I'm going to tell you, everything can keep us in a tailspin. And we won't know which end is up and which way we're going. But I'm going to tell you one thing we need. If we got another day to live on this earth, we need power. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. If we're going to be able to witness in this world, we need power. If you're going to be able to make your household work, you're going to need power. If you're going to get through the difficulty on your job, you need power. If you're going to face your infirmity, you need power. If we're going to face the fall that's coming to America, we need power. I'm going to tell you, there's a central need, and we've got to come to one accord. I want the power. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't care where you're at or what you're facing or what your social status is. You've got to have power. Their world is fixing to turn upside down. They've already got kicked out of synagogues. And they're fixing to see in a few years, they're going to be drug out of their houses.
Right.
They're going to be beaten. They're going to be stoned.
Right.
Oh, God. We can worry so much about what's coming that we're not ready for it when it comes.
Come on.
We can be so fixated on doing the will that we're not ready to do the will. I know it's not new information for us, but I just felt it burning in my spirit. And when I knelt there that evening in that church service, I just thought, what power is that? How is it possible? How do you get there? How do you get folks together? How do you get them beyond their offenses? How do you get them beyond their... We're so worried today about, well, you feel second class, or we're divided, or some have the Holy Ghost and some don't. I mean, we've got a unity that ought to be beyond theirs. If we're saved by the blood of Jesus, then we've already been placed in the body of Christ, and we ought to possess a unity that is greater than what they've got. Glory. They had none of that, Brother John. They were friends. They had a faith in Jesus Christ. But there was nothing spiritually that connected them yet, because the Holy Ghost had not yet come. I'm telling you, the body of Christ had not yet been birthed. It had not yet been brought into being and existence. It did on the day of Pentecost. And when they came out of there, I'm telling you, they had it together. And
spirituality. We've got more than they did, and yet we can't seem to get there unified. Well, I'm just going to talk to you for a few more moments. You're not going to possess this unity by waiting till you get to the assembly hall to push forward on that purpose. In other words, I don't think that they arrived at the gathering house and said, "All right, now let's get focused here." They came focused. I think all day long they've been thinking. The promise is coming. They went to bed with it on their mind. They did their work with it on their mind. They got there on the day of Pentecost and it's on their mind. Peter said, "What, it's only the third hour of the day or so. It's early in the morning." But they'd done been there early that morning. They got up with it on their mind. You see, that's a problem. We can't see something that's greater than our job, something that's greater than our home, something that's greater than our health. There's a need the church has right now, and it's the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need to get it in our mind and in our spirit. And when we come to the church house, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I need the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Hallelujah. Truth. Amen. Woo. Yeah. Yeah.
And help me, Lord. We've got to get beyond this individual mindset of getting filled with the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost. She got the Holy Ghost. But we still aren't in one accord. You understand what I'm talking about? This was an accord that was possessed before the Holy Ghost came. This was an accord possessed before the body had been birthed.
Right, brother, go ahead.
It was an accord of purpose. Yeah. But my point that I want to make about that is this. We've got people in this room tonight, and probably even the majority are here, are filled with the Holy Ghost. All of us maybe aren't filled with the Holy Ghost. But even if we get everybody filled, that's not necessarily what we're talking about here. Because you see, their purpose was to receive that power because they knew where they were going after they got it. Glory to the Lamb of God. And our difficulty sometimes is that all we can see is get me to power, but there's no purpose beyond the power. There's no sense of where we're going beyond that. Hallelujah. What I'm asking for is something greater than so-and-so to get filled and so-and-so to get filled, so that I can say everybody in our church has got filled. But I'm talking about the whole body getting filled. I'm talking about an event that isn't so much based on the individual, but it's based on the corporation, and it's based on the body, so that we all sense it and we all feel it. I'm a part of a whole, and the globe. Glory! Anamasanta, kudana namababa sanda. Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We need a Holy Ghost baptism that sets us moving towards the common goal.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hatiku hotalamaha. Nuriere mamoretes. Rura mamorera. Rahira mahorama. Runda la la la. Oh, hallelujah. There's a level we haven't got to. I'm going to tell you, there's a level that we
we've not yet got a sense of it. But if God can begin to open our eyes, if tonight God can start something deep inside your bosom and says, hey, I want this to happen, not just on one. I want it to fill the house. I want it to fill the house. I want it to fill the temple. I want God to unite this body like he's never done before. Stand your feet right now, Lord, to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I do want every individual field, but I'm asking for something beyond that. I'm asking tonight that you will begin to think on it and understand. Folks, it's not so much about America. It's not so much about WPC. All of these little things are there and they're going to fall in place. But our chief purpose is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We got one thing to do, John, and that's build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And it's not just this. I don't want to say I need the Holy Ghost, but we need the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. It's not just Brother Gary needs the Holy Ghost, but it's this church needs the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Not just so we can speak in tongues and run around the church, but so that we as a body and a company of disciples can be visible in our community. Oh, hallelujah. And God can do something because he's got a people who have all things in common because they got one goal: build the kingdom of God. Oh God, you gotta put this in us. You gotta put it in us, God. You gotta put it in us, oh Lord. Hallelujah.